Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to this scripture sermon and prayer for Sunday, June 20th, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Before we begin, just a word about our order of service. As you might recall, I believe from last week's scripture sermon and prayer, we have returned on Sunday morning to the use of the worship book, the Walnut Hill worship book, most Sundays. And so our prayers for these recordings will be taken from the particular order of service being used in the sanctuary on that day. If you would like to follow the order more closely, you'll find a copy of each Sunday's order of service on the Walnut Hill Church website under the newsletter and resources page, a document titled Worship and Study, in this case, June 20th, 2021. For this morning, we'll be using an order of worship for children, and that order is chosen in light of it being also Father's Day on the popular calendar. We begin with a call to worship. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Give unto the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we worship and adore Thee. We are Thy children. We come to Thee. Thou art our guide, our Savior, and our friend. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be the joy of our lives now and always. Amen. We share a prayer of confession. O God, our Father in heaven, we come to Thee confessing our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Restore unto us the joy of Thy salvation and uphold us with Thy free spirit. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim Thy praise. Forgive us, O Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for the unkind words we have said, for our mean-spirited thoughts. Forgive us, O Lord, for forgetting Thee, for our selfishness, for forgetting others. Lord, hear our prayer. Guide us and help us to do better and to be better. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ unto all that repent and turn to Him. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The one that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today comes from the Gospel according to Mark, reading the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 35. Jesus has been teaching along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And we read, On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, Let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Those among us of a certain age might remember it, perhaps even remember the first time we heard it. My earliest recollection goes back to elementary age days, watching on a so-called portable TV, one of those 20-pound boxes that they placed a handle on top and called it portable, equipped with rabbit ears and all the rest, which had, in our case, very limited reception because of where we were living at the time. Well, managing to tune in one of just a couple available stations one evening, there on the screen in front of me, somewhat fuzzy but certainly viewable and audible, was none other than the Billy Graham Crusade, which, as you recall, back in the day, could, at least a few times a year, monopolize 1 hour of prime time on a major network for a couple evenings straight. Quite remarkable, if you think about it. Well, there I was watching. It was, after all, the only program available on my set, and it was approaching the end of the hour, so not much left to go. And the Reverend Graham was wrapping up that evening's sermon with his classic invitation, the altar call. "Your friends and family will wait for you," he said. "Just get up from your seat and come." And with that, a vocalist would enter into singing, "Just As I Am." And the people would stream from their seats to the stage for prayer. That closing hymn of invitation, "Just As I Am," was a signature part of Billy Graham's evangelistic meetings for decades. And years later, in the summer of 2001, when in my early 40s, I had the occasion to attend a crusade at Papa John's Stadium in Louisville, the then aging evangelist was still using the song, as he had for years. And yes, people were still coming. Of course, the Reverend Graham did not write that iconic hymn, though it is so associated with him, nor was he the first to use it. In fact, his own conversion experience occurred at a tent meeting where the evangelist used the same song, setting a pattern that Graham would follow in his own ministry. The song itself, the lyrics at least, were written more than a century before by a woman named Charlotte Elliott. Charlotte was born in Clapham, England in 1789 to an affluent religious household, though her own faith was more formal than personal. In her early 30s, Charlotte experienced a serious illness, which became a chronic illness, leaving her more or less disabled for the remainder of her life, almost 50 years. Like many persons in those days experiencing chronic and disabling illness, Charlotte struggled with her limited ability to work, to be part of things, to generally contribute. She became discouraged and depressed over her situation, understandably so. One day, an evangelist visiting in her town and in her home shared the gospel with her, to which Charlotte responded, though she still had her doubts and things that she needed to work out within herself. To which the evangelist replied, quote, "Just come as you are. Just come as you are." Which both transformed Charlotte's self-perception vis-a-vis God's love and inspired the text, "Just as I am." And the rest is history, sacred music history anyway, as her lyrics were set to that familiar tune to become one of the most influential songs, or at least one of the most widely used songs in Protestant Christian tradition. Well, as interesting or uninteresting as this historical retrospective might be, you might be asking, what's the point? And that question would be fair enough, to which I would answer, if not the point, then at least the occasion for this retrospective is one of those seemingly insignificant narrative details that the gospel writer Mark frequently includes in his particular telling of the story of Jesus. Details which in recent times I've come to appreciate more fully, if not always for their theological significance, then at least for their revealing of Mark's distinctiveness, uniqueness as a writer. In this case, as you recall, Jesus was in Galilee teaching, and as was not uncommon, a crowd gathered to listen. Lacking access to a formal setting, a meeting hall or amphitheater where people could hear him and see him, to accommodate his audience, Jesus got into a boat, cast off a short distance from the shore, and addressed the people from the water, from the boat, while they spread out on the beach. Well, toward the end of the day, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." And in a rather, at least to me, curious phrasing, Mark writes, "Leaving the crowd, they took him," that is Jesus, "they took him just as he was in the boat and set out." Just as he was. I suppose for Mark, the phrase meant that they didn't go change their clothes, pack a bag, gather supplies, or do any other prearranging. No, they simply shoved off with Jesus, just as he was, which of course meant that they also shoved off just as they were. Now, the capacity of Jesus and his disciples to set out just as they all were might be reckoned a luxury available to unattached men then, if not also now, who sometimes find it all too easy to take off without regard for themselves, much less for others. Nonetheless, something about that phrasing, "just as he was," caught my attention, suggesting a way of being in the world, a way of being with God, with others, and with self, from which we might benefit as well, even we very conventional men and women. Namely, and at the risk of jumping ahead in our summer explorations, the word that comes to mind is simplicity. Traveling lightly through this life, which leaves us free to move to change, to stay, to do whatever the moment might call for us to do right now. Just as we are, just as I am, no extra attention needed. No doubt, one aspect of life that often prevents us from responding to God or to the moment are those attachments we have to things, of course, but also to ideas, sometimes to relationships, that cause us to overlook, to doubt, to second guess, to set aside the inspirations that might lead to life for ourselves and for those around us. Now, please understand, I'm not advocating for irresponsibility in regard to our lives and our relationships, far from it. But I am reminded that any invitation from God comes to me just as I am, not because of what I have accomplished, not because of what I have made of myself, or anything else of the sort, to which I often attach myself and which I often have to go get or bring along if I set off for somewhere new. The invitation, just as I am, is humbling in a way, because it seems to discount all of that stuff that I attach to myself, but it's also freeing, because there's no need to go pack a bag with my credentials or my qualifications. No need to straighten up the house, literally or figuratively. Just myself. That's all that's necessary. Just myself. Now, of course, in the case of Jesus and his disciples, they're heading off just as they were. Was no walk in the park, or in this case, no evening pleasure cruise. And when the storm came up later that night, they might all have wished to have waited till the next day. But even the stormy sea turned out to be an adventure that none of them would ever forget. And it all began by setting out with Jesus just as he was, just as they were, just as you are, and just as I am. That's all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we approach our prayers on this Lord's Day, this Father's Day, I think it is appropriate for us to spend a moment of reflection with thanksgiving for our fathers, to be sure, in the most immediate sense, but also as we might with women on Mother's Day, on Father's Day, to reflect upon those men who have been part of our lives, again, our fathers, perhaps grandfathers, uncles, cousins, siblings, teachers, coaches, mentors of all sorts, persons who have nurtured us in one way or another throughout our lives. Take a moment to do that, and then we'll speak our prayers. Our spoken prayers this morning are responsive. You'll hear me pause after each petition and offer the response. Again, if you have accessed the order of service from the website, you may wish to offer the responses as well. O Lord, who hast taught us to pray, hear our prayers not only for ourselves, but also for others. Lord, hear our prayer. For the church in all lands, for all ministers, missionaries, and others who do the work of the gospel. We beseech thee to hear us, O Lord. For our nation, for the President, Joseph Biden, for all judges, particularly justices of the Supreme Court, for all the people, that they may love the good and turn from that which is evil. We beseech thee to hear us, O Lord. For parents and friends, particularly this day, for fathers and other men who have been important parts of our lives, for strangers and enemies, that all may be kept in health and happiness. We beseech thee to hear us, O Lord. For any who suffer, for all who are in trouble, that thou wouldst comfort them. We beseech thee to hear us, O Lord. We give thanks unto thee, O Lord, for thy mercy endureth forever. For the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his lowly birth, his faithful life, his death on the cross, his rising again from the dead, his presence with us now, we praise thee, O Lord. For all who have cared for us, protected us, and guided our feet in the way of truth, we praise thee, O Lord. For everything that makes life fair and beautiful, the world about us, the love of little children, the kindness of friends, the helpfulness of good books and music, for all the goodness that is from thee, we praise thee, O Lord. God, be merciful unto us and bless us. Cause thy face to shine upon us and give us thy peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we humbly pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, my friends, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.